I love this. Well, everybody, just hold your horses. Everything is going beautifully. We're excited to be here, and the show's coming at you now.
Wow, and I'm enjoying this welcome in such a fantastic invitation from BBS. I'm your Lena Life. How's everybody doing? And I hope that we can start our show in this very moment with my invitation to all of you and tell you that today for change, I will be having a monologue in one sense and dialogue with the whole world. I don't have a live guest, but I decided to be on the air instead of being on the snow, which unfortunately gives us a tremendous amount of challenge here on the East Coast. And more than that, it energizes us for being finally somewhat active, because there is no choice but to feel your body, to feel vibration of your mind while you're dealing with the snow. Which brings first thought, how much this dialogue we have, physical and emotional, do we have time for this? And I'm already sound a little bit somewhat pessimistic, but very sincere. And it's nothing wrong to be pessimistic, as long as you are addressing your thoughts in kindness and trying to understand who do you relate your thoughts, that we are still human beings. We have less and less time to feel this, to take care of our moments of oneness and moments of dreams. There is no secret that a lot of fear, a lot of tension, a lot of stress took undeservedly big space in our souls and in our minds, because life presents that many challenges. Of course, financial, one of them. But also, it is a challenge for our strengths, our emotional vision of the world. And there's something else very fascinating happening. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, world was somewhat predictably planned and grouped in points of political formations, certain styles of life, whether it's a good or bad. People felt that they are somewhat can go with inertia, what they know, what they knew, and taking for granted the fact that they are on their places with understanding that there is a certain form of stability, of course, different level. Dictatorship never would give the same stability with democratic societies. But it is all has changed. We cannot afford any longer to think and to feel that we are just the masters of our own space. There is a sharing, almost like a personal responsibility, to be aware what is going on in the world. And I would say that probably summarizing when this mental change took place very drastically, it did take place after the collapse of communism. It was a tremendous world celebration. There were certainly tremendous amount of promising thoughts, ideas, and all of them were true. And they are true today as well. The only challenge is how we can take changes, because change was so huge, so universally spread out, that the change perhaps was not enough recognized. And all this global change was so overwhelming that different nations reacted differently, different countries certainly had more or less challenges. So then we've been in this different journey. And I believe personally that since that moment, we are, as a whole nation of the world, are responsible and very sensitive for that historic change and the consequences. So I guess what I like to talk about today is personal reaction to the global consequences which took place for some time, for a number of years ago. To reflect on this thought, I will take a little musical pause. As all of you know, I am for those changes, for those reflections, for some quick but profound shifts. So let's shift into the world of music, and then I will continue on my thoughts. And I will go on my thoughts, how this global changes indeed made our individual life different, and how we can adjust to this. I expressed before the thought that we've been living in a different part of the world, and we were not forced to be aware of those global changes as much as we are today. And whoever joined us, I wanted to say that I made this highly subjective parallel with changing the world after a communistic regime fell down and the world was faced with a tremendous gift of freedom, which we called in this country the perfect example of democracy. With that, there came some challenges, and those challenges being sometimes very invisible. In fact, people who did run away from communistic regime couldn't quite comprehend what does it mean to be free, because no matter how wonderful things are sometimes, if you're not familiar with them, you don't know what to do with them. So it was a challenge for that group of people, and it's a huge population. And then the other part of a population who already had a taste of free world, free enterprise, were not quite friendly to those who wanted to ask for sharing. It's understandable because everyone goes through their own channels, levels, and once earned the place and comfort, sometimes cannot easily share with another person who is who just came as uninvited guest. Yet there is another very logical and political necessity which one had to adopt is indeed sharing, because the idea of freedom is indeed sharing, because dictatorial regime does not permit this. It is what I said you have to do when the free world is proclaiming very human idea of sharing. However, it's not always the case. And when we coming down to the ground, to details, to different idiosyncrasies, especially in business, greed, unfortunately, taking a very strong place. And to be even more truthful, greed in our society presently takes tremendously strong place. In fact, if I would ask what is the greatest challenge right now, I would say it's a hidden competition, like a contest between humanity and materialism, where greed is a king, very negative king. And that is, as I call, negative vitamin. We are trying to fight. Some people fighting this with an obvious skill, their own power, some people struggling because they don't quite understand what they're fighting. They are not used to this type of challenges, and they're becoming emotionally drained. So then they're looking for some opportunities to relieve themselves. That's where excesses of some, obviously, drug, alcohol, and excessive use of something which used to be so beautifully perfumed, like a little touch of human smile or sensuality. Even sex became a material tissue of the issue. So all of this becoming a substance of the challenge, and all of this I connected to such a global historic event as a communism. So the big question is, how in the world I was able to build this pyramid of most colossal change as a celebration of collapse of most most intimidating political regime, dictatorship of communism, and yet somewhat stagnation of this celebration because we are faced with so many different political, economical, and human consequences. Let's think about that with another beautiful piece of music by Julian Lampert. I cannot imagine a better merge where we are thinking, contemplating, and having this beautiful, endless dialogue with music and art. I'm certainly sound quite serious on these subjects, but I don't feel guilty. I'm trying to be truthful and perhaps, in my own humble way, clarifying certain issues for myself as well. Because coming from Eastern European background, I certainly found a lot of novelties in American society, and some of them quite extraordinary, and some of them quite challenging. And I'm not trying to be diplomatic and saying certain things which I do not like. In fact, certain things which I was disappointed with. I'm trying to be diplomatic because, indeed, I honor diplomacy when it's done with elegance, skill, and sincerity. If those three components can be merged, then you are a fantastic diplomat. In fact, one of them I like to share, one of my idols, was fantastic impresario Hurok, who promoted a lot of European artists here in this country when indeed there was a cold, I would say, artistic war, not only political war, but artistic war, because some jazz forms were not permitted in some Eastern European country. Now it sounds so foolish, but that was the case. So all these restrictions he was able to overcome with his skill, with all these qualities I mentioned before. And there is a something which I personally experienced with a few great managers who had on the first place, they had a heart for the performer. They evaluate the talent, the quality of the strengths of the artistic gift. Only then they will go to their commercial potentials. Unfortunately, today in America, it is a bit reversed. So when I was saying that I'm not trying to be politically correct here or demonstrate my diplomacy, I really meant that, and now I would say as a humanitarian that it is extremely unfortunate that our materialistic obsession almost takes over appreciation for very genuine objects or people or events which has to do with richness of art, or even for tiny little moments in life. I'd like to say something else. We are so busy and so hectic with our lives that sometimes we don't even notice when a great figure leaves the earth. We don't even have time to reflect. We don't have time for grief. And these are very remarkable human qualities. I like to share one event which took place. It's a dramatic loss of one of the greatest musicians of our century. It's a death of Dr. Billy Taylor. He was certainly one of the kings of jazz. He was so uniquely gifted and extremely rare in sharing his gift, because he was a composer, he was a pianist, and he was a teacher. Needless to say that when he organized absolutely unbelievably beautiful and memorable event in the Carnegie Hall, where all legends of jazz world came into the stage, some of which couldn't even walk because they'd been either debilitated by disease or they'd been just very old. But all of them played together. That was the most sensational memory I have. I cannot imagine a better example of manifestation of the human spirit. And that particular so sharply engraved in me, this human appreciation, because in the midst of our society, which is overly preoccupied to survive an economic crisis, which became excessively stressful, yet there was a moment of this triumph of spirit, knowledge, and such incredible sharing, for which I personally so, so grateful and deeply moved to say that Dr. Billy Taylor made absolutely remarkable and irreplaceable mark on the earth internationally and locally. Let's honor Dr. Taylor with a moment of silence, after which we will hear a beautiful piece by Julian Lambert, moving us into the jazz world, which Billy Taylor was so, so beautiful. I mentioned that leaving this earth, Dr. Taylor really made a tremendous contribution into the musical world. I'm deeply disappointed because there was not enough acknowledgement of his death. It was not even a special article in the major newspapers. This is just another indication how busy media is with more relevant issues, saying a bit facetiously, and how much media is overwhelmed with immediate events, with actual events. So in our own modest rights, because he was a personal friend, we're going to create a special night in our company, which called the Music Garden, and we will have a very memorable event with world-renowned musicians in the jazz world, where life and creations of Dr. Taylor about some of his compositions will be played. And I would feel that that will be our contribution to his legacy. to his message. And something which we need to be very aware of, who are the people we are so grateful and the people who are incredibly nourishing to our life and everyday living. Another subject I wanted to talk about is something which fascinated me. It's expression of holistic religion. I never heard such an expression until last night. There was a collaborative conversation about our functions in life, about family relationship, about the fact that man is visualized as a money machinery and woman doesn't have enough time to nurture her children. This well-known formula which we adopted, but we're not happy about. And then the thought was about this holistic religion attracted me because it sounds very innovative and somewhat promising. Then it was interesting connection made between everyday living, between our obsessions and some problems and cavities of our habits, like overeating, over drinking, everything which is overly done, and in the connection with something which we underdone. And what we underdone is just as important as what we are overly doing. In fact, the philosophical connection is such that if we becoming overly positive, somehow we departing from the reality. So at the same time, negativity is almost like a curse. When we hear that we're negative, we feel guilty. And I would say that very prosperous topics of many religious motivational talkers are leading to the fact that we should not be negative. Now, what's a negativity? What is the relationship between negativity and being realistic? And I think it's a very strong simplification, because negativity is not so bad if it is wake-up call for something important. But we're afraid of it because we feel that we are losing face of success, that we're losing this model of success, that we indeed creating very falsy, weak impression in the society. The problem is that we became so obsessively concern of being positive that in a sense we do not even notice that indeed being positive is being negative because of the denial. So this chain of the reaction took very prominent place in our life, especially in the life of our children. So I like to stress one fact, that our children is our adulthood. Because if we are not prepared to be parents, our children are reminding us about this function. Children not and never will forgive any kind of lack of parenting which we are exhibiting. And a parenting is probably the most complex job. Now, why it is the most complex job? It is a complex job because it is indeed revealing who we are in the most complete form and shape. So if we are becoming in a position when we need to parent and we're not ready for it, we have to go back and see where we left our development, what we neglected in our own bringing up, and that in this country called healing. I would say that healing, frankly, is something more complex, because healing comes when you realize that you need healing. So before you realizing, one can feel the most happy, most prosperous, and most successful person. And yet at one moment, maybe sequences of moments, there is a realization that all of this was such an unrealistic dream. I like to talk in my next segment, what is a reality and what is a dream? I would say reality is very real combination of positive and negative. It is not something to be afraid of. It's something to accept as a part of life. And a dream is that surreal and supreme goal which we're trying to reach. And everybody's dream is different. But to be in the process of reaching this dream, that is a fantastic human luxury. Let's reflect on that with another piece of Julian's Lambert music. Well, that certainly brought some refreshing, much lighter notes in my very serious monologue, which I'm having with all of you. I hope I'm forgiven for bringing somewhat heavy colors. But again, with feeling heavy sometimes, we can that much more appreciate the lightness. So on this note, I like to talk about some lighter subjects. And I like to say that there was a tremendous creativity of human expression with the snow. How banal one can be as a snowstorm. Yet Mother Nature challenges us again, and as my friend explained, because there was such environmental changes, Mother Nature expresses itself in more rains and more snow. So we have such a beautiful expression of human nature here, because we have these sculptures which are full contrast. Snow becomes a sun. We don't have much of a sun because of the heavy clouds, but during the day, this whiteness of the snow is so profoundly, shockingly beautiful. And because of the amount of it, and it's constantly replenished with more snow, that I found myself wearing sunglasses, looking at this beauty of the snow. So I hope that we will find these very charming and unexpected opportunities to look for the beauty around ourselves. And our children, who are such a reminder of snowball's activities and also creativity of some other kinds, I would say that one of the cultural thing in East Coast, of course, lobsters, and one little town decided to celebrate opening of their restaurant, and they made a huge ice snow sculpture. They made it red. How in the world they decided and managed to go for search and to chemicalize the white snow with the red paintings beyond anybody's beliefs. But it was a bit of a traffic jam because everyone would stop and look at this red lobster. So I was hoping that we will certainly find an opportunity to look for this moment of the red lobster in the middle of a freezing cold. Let's take this emotion and listen to another music of Julian Lambert's creation. Thank you. even though I don't think computer reacts to the weather. They're strong as a bull. But it is my apology to my listeners if indeed continuity is broken because there is a full transmission of the music. So I will go on with my thoughts with a hope that maybe for the last segment of the program, music will flow with a little better and more clear sound production. I want to talk about this visual arts, which I just mentioned. It is so important for us to have this moment of, I call it visual destruction, because we react so quickly and what we see, hear, and we are touching. But I found that visual gives this tremendous impulse, perhaps a quicker and stronger impulse to what we immediately feel. Because, of course, when we touch something hot and cold or something else, obviously we create our emotional reaction to it. But not everyone, perhaps, will immediately visualize this. A lot of children will create in their mind some kind of a theatrical scene or some kind of fairy tale moments. But we adults need a little bit more of a visual information to get more serious and to take it for more real perception. So in moments of stressful life, I believe that if a little subject can be put in the middle of the kitchen, for example, or even in the middle of the working place where computer and our strong concentration taking place, so certain stagnant and certain, I should say, very monotonous physical state of mind and the body, if put something unusually engaging as a positive distraction can be so, so beneficial, because once you have this shift, then after this, you coming back to your major task, you're much more refreshed. And also, what's interesting, I noticed that even a lift of creativity and energy for the imagination can be that much more supportive to the work we're doing, for our intellectual and a mental process. So I'm very much pro little shifts. I'm very much pro short moments of breaks, because let's face it, we don't really have that much time to have sometimes enjoyment of longer recreational time. So what we need to do is to exercise our imagination in advance. In fact, if we know that it will be 2-3 hours computer work, and we know that we would have to do extremely tense, mentally concentrating work with the process, why not to put a little tiny vase with a flower or two, and then from time to time, just look at this. It seems like a nothing thing, but that nothing thing bring very big thing. It's a shift, it's a refreshing, and it's also appreciation for the nature. And when you see snow outside and flowers inside, wow, we're touching a little harmony. So let's think what kind of other music, with my hope that it will be with a better transmission, we can listen to. I will certainly make sure that if this music is not in a desirable flow, then we will be interrupted by that thing, and I will continue with my thoughts about the music, but I certainly prefer music for the music rather than the words about the music. So let's hope for music for the music. And as I said, it was my tremendous joy to be on the air instead of being in the snow. It is a tremendous privilege to be on the air, especially when you know that without air, one cannot survive more than a minute. This air function is so tremendous. We live by it. I have this privilege to communicate with the world, just being on the air with all of you. And I ask for forgiveness if I offended someone with my thoughts. And I wanted to say that it was part of my own sincere expression, part of my human experiences. And somehow I feel free to share it. I feel that our individuality needs to be recognized, not only because of your fame, but indeed because of your originality.
There are no two individuals in this world who are the same. I was stumbling to express this
because it's such a responsible thought. And yet we communicate because we are alike. So I think the truth and harmony is to find the balance between where we are different and where we are alike. This is the most profound challenge our world is facing today, because there is tremendous amount of thoughts, protests, violence, unfortunately. Any forms of human expression which is trying to express their own place in the world. And it is somewhat harder now because it looks as if everyone has its own voice. it looks that everyone has needs much more than before to express his or her voices. The issue is of the fear, because if we are not enough the same, I would say, and we present quite a difference, our voice can be attacked because it can be overwhelming, maybe overpowering, and it's up to an individual to be that strong, to be that convinced, to carry his or her voice through. And unfortunately, material wealth today plays much greater role than education, intellectual development, and even freedom of choice. So we need to take it as philosophically as we can and try to understand that this is a stage of the world which is in a process to find its own invisible harmony. It is our role to make contribution. It's our choice to what extent we want to make this contribution. And sometimes it's over-challenging. So I sincerely hope that this communication which our air gives us, and communication which sometimes is speechless but carrying through the air, or on the air, or by the air, will be very helpful, for which we will be so, so grateful. I guess on this note, I will conclude and say that I'm thanking Mother Nature, who is not only punishing us with this overwhelming amount of snow and hoping that we will conquer it, but also for the fact that this air allows me to share my thoughts, to have privilege to share my thoughts. And certainly I'm very grateful to VBS, who is on the air, who is certainly very generous to give us this opportunity to communicate, and that I certainly like to leave you with a thought.
Just enjoy breathing, no matter where you are. Breathe with your spirit, with your soul, and let's hope that jointly we will find this invisible and beautiful balance on the air. Next time, on Tuesday,